And welcome, first time, long time. We're back, baby. I'm Smitty. We got Roan. We got special guest Mark Farzetta. And yeah, unofficial Barstool Sports Philly podcast. And you know you need us, and we know we need you, because whenever shit hits the fan in the great city of Philadelphia, we are here for an emergency podcast. Because you know, above all other things, you need, or not you, the great city of Philadelphia deserves to hear from a couple of guys from the suburbs who probably peaked in Little League or high school, talking more Philadelphia sports and what we need to do with the action. Roan, how angry are you right now?
I'm pissed off as well, my friend. They wanted to keep our fucking voices down. They wanted to silence us, and they didn't want us to be heard on these Barstool airwaves, but we seeped up like sewage from a fucking manhole cover, and we said we're going to record, we are going to be heard, and we are going to get these birds takes off our chest, these Sixers takes off our chest, maybe a little Phillies Flyers, who knows, but we're not going to be silenced.
Mark, what the hell is going on with A, life, and B, the Eagles?
Well, first, let me just say, first time, long time is just the great name for anything. If anybody who's in sports talk radio, that phrase just haunts their dreams. But no, I'm pumped. As far as the Eagles go, though, they have really hurt my expectations, really going into this season and then now going into the offseason. It feels like the Eagles right now, it feels like they're on the Titanic and they're using a thimble to try to just bail water out of that thing. It is just embarrassing what has gone on so far. And I know, Smitty, you were talking about, Roan, you were talking about, you look at this team and what they've done to their head coach that helped them win a Super Bowl, to put him out on the streets before Howie Roseman and look at Howie Roseman as the guy to solve all these problems is just ridiculous. And I know I'm right there with a lot of Eagles fans that are just afraid of what comes next, especially if Howie Roseman's the guy going out there, finding another head coach to, yeah, sure, hopefully win another Super Bowl. But I think Jeffrey Lurie all but confirmed that first Super Bowl, although it was enjoyable and nothing will take away from that, just came to us as a fluke. Take it as a fluke, because still, he can have a parade after a fluke. But do you really trust Howie and Jeffrey Lurie to go find another guy to help you win a Super Bowl? Because I don't.
Couple of Howie Roseman facts for the boys and girls out there. These are undisputed. Howie Roseman has been GM since 2010. In that time, he was GM during the Dream Team of 2011. He was the GM during the draft of 2011 when they took Danny Watkins, a fucking firefighter, in the first round, and then Alex Henry in the fourth round. If you look back at that draft, it was one of the most talent-rich filled NFL drafts in history. And the Eagles, some way, somehow, had the worst draft in NFL history, with the exception of Jason Kelce in the sixth round. He was there when they fired Andy Reid in 2012. He was there when they hired Chip Kelly. He was there when, and the main reason that the Chip Kelly experiment blew up, other than Chip Kelly, he was the main factor. And now he is there for his fourth coaching regime in 9 years. He's also there for Marcus Smith, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, over DK Metcalf, you know, Justin Jefferson, and the Vikings laughing in our faces when we took Jalen Reagor. But he was there for all four coaching regimes in 9 years. One Pro Bowler, Roan, in the last 7 years. That's Carson Wentz, drafted in 2016. One Pro Bowler drafted in the last 7 years since 2014. Do you know how fucking easy it is to make a Pro Bowl? They're giving them out of fucking candy on Halloween. It is so easy to make a Pro Bowl, and we have one Pro Bowler drafted in the last 7 years. And also, just reported today, they wanted Frank Reich. The Eagles management wanted Frank freaking out after the 2016 season. And Doug Peterson stood up for Frank Reich and kept him, which led them to a Super Bowl in 2017. And then Frank Reich got a head coaching job. Why? Why does the management, Howie Roseman included, want Frank Reich out in 2016? Those are substantial Howie Roseman facts that may or may not lead to him getting tarred and feathered in the streets.
Smitty, no, you're right. And honestly, it's infuriating. But even worse than that, this is the first Eagles offseason in a long time where I just don't feel the hope anymore. I don't feel like next season has a chance for us to be a prosperous franchise. I don't feel like in 5 years from now, I don't have confidence that we're going to be a successful franchise. And that's I don't know when the last time I felt that way is. It's been a long time since it's just been empty, and that it's just this desolate landscape as I look into the future. There's nothing bright. There's no salary cap space. Like you're saying, I don't have any trust in us drafting. We're not going to be able to bring in any free agents. And I guess it comes down to the coach. The coach is the only chance for me to have some hope coming into the 2021 season.
And why would you, bro? Why would you have hope? Why would you have any real desire to watch next season even when your owner comes out and basically tells you they got rid of Doug Peterson because he wanted to win now? And instead of doing that, because they already mortgaged so much of the future by investing in that one 2017-2018 Super Bowl, that they basically have to pack it in for the next couple of years to try to rebuild something. That's why they let Doug Peterson go. According to the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, they let him go because he had a desire to win now. God forbid that he actually tried to win now and not think about, oh, well, what about 3 years from now? No, he wanted to win now. And when you establish that new norm that we all kind of laugh at a little bit, at the time, we loved that because we all wanted that to be our new norm in Philadelphia, being on the Art Museum steps every year, at least every other year, whatever it might be, building a dynasty. Instead, we have to listen to our owner who just keeps on talking about how much he has his finger on the pulse of the fans, when in reality, more fans wanted Howie Roseman gone by a huge majority than they wanted Doug Peterson gone. So what are you doing to really put your finger on that pulse there, Jeffrey? And what are you doing to try to maybe get back to that norm a little bit sooner rather than later?
And that mortgaging the future idea might make sense if that's what you had to do to guarantee yourself a Super Bowl, if everybody else who won a Super Bowl had to go through that. But we see all these other franchises who have been successful, and none of them are most of them aren't going through this exact same slog of bullshit that we're going through. It's clearly an ineptitude from the top down.
And the fact that there have been reports that Jeffrey Lurie hasn't even considered getting rid of Howie Roseman. It's astonishing. It's an absolutely astonishing view of incompetence, in my opinion.
Did you hear him say, he said, Doug Peterson did not deserve to be let go. What sense does that make? Does that mean that Howie Roseman has somehow granted himself another like 5-year contract or something? Did not deserve to be let go, yet he's the one that's out in the streets right now looking for another job. While you have a guy like Howie Roseman just sitting on his ivory tower thinking, yeah, this is fine. Everything's all right. No problems here.
And you know what it could mean? That Doug Peterson wanted out, which is an even further indictment of everything that Howie – no one can stomach him, especially the people who work most closely with him. And it should be the opposite if you're going to keep the job.
And that goes back from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. And Smitty, let me ask this. If you were sitting with that ownership group and you were sitting with Howie Roseman, you're sitting with Jeffrey Lurie, and you're sitting with Doug Peterson, and you're a fly on the wall during those conversations, what do you think that conversation was? That last one between Jeffrey Lurie and Doug Peterson? Do you think it was Doug going in there and saying, I want control of the Sticks pick. I want Press Taylor as my offensive coordinator. Bad idea. Like, do you think it was literally him going in there saying, I want more power. I don't want to be told what to do anymore. This is my house, and I want to make sure I'm running everything accordingly.
All that I know is since Howie Roseman has been at the level where he's at with the Philadelphia Eagles organization, he has ousted every single person that has come his way, including Joe Banner, the longtime successful Eagles GM, who was Andy Reid's fucking butt buddy growing up, or just best friend, whatever you want to call it. Chip Kelly, he outlasted Andy Reid, and now he outlasted Doug Peterson. I mean, it's Howie's ship. He's a survivor. He's a snake, and he's going to do whatever it takes to survive. End of story.
And I think one of the most infuriating things that they've kind of said after the season is this sentiment that there's like 6 GMs in waiting among the Eagles front office guys, that there's going to be all these guys who kind of bubble to the top. So you're not listening to any of them? If they're all geniuses, then why aren't genius things happening? Either they're not as qualified as you're saying that they are, or like let them come to prominence, to the forefront, and let them make the decisions.
It's a long and winding road to incompetence from the top to bottom. And we're going to get into everything, but first we're going to get into you, the people. Possibly not literally, definitely consensually.
All right.
Voicemails. Let's do it.
Yeah, how's it going? Ronnie from Delco, man. Boy, what happened to our Philadelphia Eagles, man? That's what I want to know. First of all, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I mean, one of the worst years I've ever seen from a goddamn head coach. Never forget when he ran Miles Sanders 6 times in a fucking game. Can't have it. But anyways, Howard Rosen, man, how the hell does that guy still have a fucking job? That's what I want to know. This guy's picking bullshit, here's and there's. What the hell's going on, man? You're going to let this guy still have a job? God forbid you listen to the fucking, you know, press conference from Lori. Lori doesn't know what the hell's going on either. You're going to let this fucking Howie Rosen motherfucker, he's going to, what, pulling strings behind the scenes? You know, who's really owning the team, Jeff?
And there you have it, Ronnie from Delco lighting a candlelight vigil for Doug Peterson outside of the dead body of Jocelyn's in media, possibly constructing a voodoo doll for Holly Roseman at Barney's and Ashton.
That wasn't like just some friend of yours. That was a legit random guy. That was the perfect. That was the most perfect first call to take on this. That's amazing.
It's Delco, baby. I mean, we've beaten Howie to death. We know exactly how the fan base feels, pretty much exactly how reality is. Do we have anything to add about it, Howie, specifically?
No, I agree that they needed to move on from Doug Peterson. I didn't think they would do that and not move on from Howie Roseman. I think that they moved on from Doug and not Howie is that Doug went in there and basically presented an ultimatum saying, this is what I want or I want to be out of here. And that's basically when they couldn't come to terms. They couldn't see eye to eye, and they decided to move on. That's where I really think the disconnect was. And
you don't think Doug deserved another year?
I would have given him another year to right the ship, and I thought that's what Jeffrey Lurie was trying to do. But in the fact that he fired him and kept Howie, that's more shocking than just keeping Doug for an extra year to see if he could, you know, get things back on the good track. But to let go of one and not the other is just ridiculous to me, because now it seems like you're doubling down. As Jeffrey Lurie, it seems like you're doubling down on Howie Roseman by firing Doug, because what is he going to do? Have Howie come in and hire the next head coach, be a part of that coaching search, and then fire him a year later? Because the first thing another GM's going to want to do, unless you do hire from within, the first thing another GM's going to want to do is go out there and hire his own head coach.
Yeah, I mean, I start wondering whether there's a chance that Doug saw what Chip Kelly did and banished Howie, how he banished Howie to another wing of the building, and thought, why can't I do that? If Chip Kelly was afforded that luxury, I won a Super Bowl. Why can't I banish him to another wing? And why can't I, you know, shop for my own groceries, or if that's what you want to call it? I definitely think that Doug deserved another year to maybe see what happens with a different quarterback, but it's pretty obvious that it wasn't going to be him and Wentz getting along at the end of the day. I'm surprised that Wentz wasn't on the chopping block. It seems like Wentz is going to stay now.
Well, what can you really do with Wentz? And I agree with you saying, you know, the old Bill Parcells, if you want to have me cook the meal, you better have me shop for the groceries. It makes sense, especially with Doug winning a Super Bowl. He probably does deserve a little bit more control in that arena. But it's obvious that Jeffrey Lurie has chosen Howie and Wentz over Doug Peterson right now, because he fucking paid Wentz and we're stuck with them. And now we can't do anything. You can't do dick. So what do you do? What do you do? Just let it flap down the breeze.
I guess you just hope Jalen Hurts is a really good quarterback all of a sudden. Because, I mean, he was impressive. He had those, you know, flashes and this, that, and the other. But it wasn't like, oh, this is the guy going forward. That's why I don't buy into the Lincoln Riley rumors that are out there. I believe that they contacted him, but I don't think that's the direction that you go. I mean, first off, to bring in a college head coach again, albeit you would be handing the job to Jalen Hurts more or less because of his background with Lincoln Riley, as we know. But at the same time, you'd also be saying, let me bring in this guy from college so that I know I could run things really from the front office, where you were doing with Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie. And you could be that meddling owner that Jeffrey Lurie has become. And you could be the meddling, even on game day decisions, Howie Roseman type general manager that he already is. And Lincoln Riley wouldn't say boo about it. I think they stay in the NFL to hire their next head coach. I don't think they go to the college ranks, but it wouldn't shock me because that's another guy they could control.
Well, first of all, with Jalen Hurts, he's a good quarterback with a lot of talent, but he was also the Saints actually trying for a first half of football away from not winning a single game as a starter. He got bashed in by the Cowboys. He couldn't make a comeback against the Cardinals. The last game against Washington, yeah, he had two rushing touchdowns from, you know, 10 yards in, but he was also 7 for 20. You know, are we going to really hitch our wagon to Hurts right now? Really?
No, there's no quarterback, which is why you're trying to sell this job to another head coach. Where's the perk? aside from being a head coach in the NFL, which I know a guy like Robert Saleh would absolutely love, but aside from that, what's the draw? What's the attraction? You're getting a quarterback controversy, a GM that overcontrols, and an owner that likes to meddle. So right there, like, what's the draw to this team? Oh, and a lot of cap problems, as you pointed out already. So what's the draw?
Rome.
Yeah, the Eagles might be the least desirable coaching spot in the entire league of seven vacancies right now. Wouldn't you rather go somewhere where there's at least control or salary cap space or resources or competence? Like, there's none of those things here.
I mean, riddle me this, Roan. You got the Eagles. We're obviously going through their dysfunction right now. But then you got the Jacksonville Jaguars, number one overall pick. You got the Los Angeles Chargers, pretty good quarterback, kind of set up to win right now. You got the Detroit Lions, whether or not Stafford stays, could have to do with that. But, you know, not the worst situation. The New York Jets, Joe Douglas, helped win a Super Bowl here. You got a top five pick. Atlanta Falcons, a little bit in the same situation as the Eagles, but not even close because we're fucked. And then you got the Houston Texans with, looks like Deshaun Watson's out. But you're going to be getting some compensation there. And, you know, Houston's not a bad place to live. Eagles are easily the seventh worst coaching position.
I would put Houston below us. I would put Houston just slightly below us because their dysfunction runs, like, generations deep. And it feels like a relatively new thing for us. But outside of that, I mean, it's not really an ideal place to be in. But, Smitty, let's get through some more of these voicemails before we have to cut Mark loose.
Boom. Voicemail number two.
Hey guys, first time, long time, you know, with the whole Eagles situation, we need to get back to what Philadelphia does best, and that's play defense. Where is Rex Ryan? His dad, if you don't recall, Ryan, is the best coach Eagles ever had. You know, if it wasn't for Randall breaking his leg, you know, we would have won four Super Bowls, if not more. We got to bring in one of the Ryans. You bring in Rex as the head coach. You bring in his brother to run the defense. And you're guaranteed making the playoffs. Rex brought Mark Sanchez to the fucking AFC Championship.
I don't hate
it. What I do? What the fuck are you talking about?
If we're gonna turn this into a fucking circus, let's do it. Let's hire Rex Ryan and Rob Ryan to be co-coaches, and Adam Gase as the offensive coordinator, and just completely blow the entire thing up. Make the entire season into a Hard Knocks. Go 2-14 2 years in a row, get a couple top five picks, Howie's out of here, and we're up in the gate and skating the rest of the way.
I hate that idea.
Just when I thought we couldn't get more, the stereotype caller, we had a Buddy Ryan reference. Maybe if Buddy Ryan, if Randall didn't break his leg, well, maybe if Buddy Ryan would have gotten an offensive coach, but that's an argument for, 40 years ago. But when you just watch this team
30.
From afar, who's yeah, 30, thank you. When you watch this team from afar, how do you try to figure out the steps going forward? And it's wild to me that there are two different coaches that both have a long history of dealing with linebackers, that they're assistant coaches that have a long history of coming in here, having coached linebackers before, to a franchise. They're being linked to a franchise that hasn't valued linebackers in 18 years, really, since Jeremiah Trotter was here. That's the most amazing thing. I don't mind concentrating on defense if that means you can get an offensive mind in here whose sole responsibility is going to be coaching up your quarterback position, because that's really what they need, because that was one of Doug Peterson's detriments, the fact that not only was he the play caller, not only was he the offensive coordinator, but he was also the head coach. Maybe these two quarterbacks that are on your roster right now need that special one-on-one attention from somebody that maybe has some clout in the NFL that has actually nursed a couple of the quarterbacks along the way.
Who do you have in mind, Mark? Mark, who do you have in mind? Are you thinking Dable? Is that a name that excites you? Kafka, maybe? Or, like, what are the names that excite you?
As far as exciting me, no one's really jumping. Like, Eric Bieniemy is the guy that everyone's in love with and has been for quite some time. Mike Kafka, another guy obviously on the Kansas City staff, former backup here in Philadelphia. He's another guy that a lot of people nationally have looked at as one of the next big coaching candidates. Arthur Smith is a guy that is intriguing because of what he did with Ryan Tannehill. And yes, they had a great run game in Tennessee. They have a great run game in Tennessee. But Tannehill had a lot of struggles, injury problems as well as Miami. Comes over to the Tennessee Titans and actually starts to regroup a little bit. And the other thing that's impressing me, or has impressed me about Smith, is that he's made it through, I believe, three different head coaching hires. So something about him has been worth holding on to. I would be curious to see what he'd do in Philadelphia. I wouldn't bang the drum for him as of right now, but it definitely is intriguing.
And all these guys are getting looked at by other teams. So, you know, naturally, they're not going to want to come here. So who gives a shit? But all the here's a rundown of everybody the Eagles have at least reached out to or interviewed already. Brian Daboll, Lincoln Riley, Joe Brady, 31-year-old kid who is going to get a job somewhere, if not this year eventually. Mike Kafka, Jerod Mayo, the Patriots linebackers coach right now. Adam Gase, Ryan Day, Ohio State's head coach, Arthur Smith, Todd Bowles, Luke Fickell, Cincinnati's head coach, Eric Bieniemy, and Deuce Staley. You know,
Deuce is the guy that always gets left out.
I don't hate just giving Deuce a shot here. Why not? It's like, why not? He deserves it. You're not going to expect much. Let Deuce spin. Let him go. For a year.
I'm not that excited about Deuce because when I look at Miles Sanders, I felt like there was kind of a regression in Miles Sanders this year. I didn't really see – and maybe they kind of stopped allocating resources towards running backs this year, but I didn't really see Miles Sanders blossom, and maybe that's because of he wasn't under the full tutelage of Peterson or, like, he hadn't completely bought in. But, I'm not excited about Deuce Staley. I wasn't excited about Peterson when they hired him, so maybe, like, I don't have my finger on the pulse. But well, Deuce Staley doesn't do it for me.
First of all, I'm not saying Deuce Staley is going to win a Super Bowl, which, again, I didn't think Doug Peterson would. I, in fact, bet my entire life, livelihood, and soul against Doug Peterson ever winning a Super Bowl. I sometimes question how wrong I am about other things because Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. Because if I'm wrong about that, like, what else am I possibly wrong about in my life? Obviously, Deuce is probably not going to do much, but Miles Sanders' yards per carry this year was up there in the NFL. I think that had to do a lot more with play calling and scheme and actually giving him the fucking ball more than Miles Sanders' talent or reflection on Deuce. But maybe. I don't know. I'm not in the coaching room there.
Well, that's exactly why people, I think, would be a little excited that it would be Deuce Staley, because they feel as if, oh, no doubt, Deuce would at least give the ball to the running back, something that both Doug Peterson and Andy Reid did not do enough. I mean, Deuce was a victim of that in the early goings of his career under Andy Reid. I wouldn't mind. I mean, again, I wouldn't go doing cartwheels down Broad Street over it, but I would get it. I'd understand it. And I at least know that the coach coming in immediately has the respect of everybody in that locker room. And we know how important that was to the Eagles Super Bowl victory a few years back, the respect of the head coach in the locker room, which should be a given. But with Deuce Staley, it's not just given. It's already there. You don't need to do anything with it. He's right there with it. And I also don't think Deuce would take on in his first couple of years, maybe as a head coach, that play calling responsibility. He might bring in somebody else that would take that over, and he just might play the role of like the Mike Tomlin type guy, where he's not calling plays, where he's more so relying on his coaching staff to do that. And what he's really focused on is actually coaching players up. How novel. And then you could also bring in somebody that could be that defensive coordinator, that more defensive mind to take things over.
But what is Deuce going to do for our quarterback situation is really what I'm worried about. I don't see Deuce. I mean, then you would have to bring in another guy to kind of groom these quarterbacks, and then you're pushing someone a little bit like further down. It's not going to be someone who's necessarily head coach and caliber. I want my head coach to either be a defensive genius or to be able to sort out what's happening with our quarterback situation. I don't think that Deuce is that guy.
Yeah, and you could be absolutely right on that. Deuce doesn't have any history there, but that's again where you might bring in that other guy, like you just mentioned, that could coach him up. Who that guy is as of right now, I don't know.
And that's what sucks, because no matter who the coach is, we're stuck with either Hurts or Wentz for at least the short term.
I don't know. The sixth pick, we might get Trey Lance.
And what do you do with Wentz? You gonna put him in linebacker? Jalen Hurts could probably play linebacker and fucking
maybe
put him in. I wanted to put him at guard this year. Why not? Voicemail.
The three-headed monster at quarterback.
What's up,
we got, Ronnie Smitty?
And Smitty? How we doing today? Not really great. Let's be honest here. Howie Rose is a stooge and a sellout. Why the fuck was he not fired? Get this motherfucker off managing my team. And Carson Wentz stinks. He's broken. He's RG3, no confidence. Get him the fuck off my team. He's a cancer.
Wentz is broken.
Yeah.
There's really no denying that. He is a broken man right now.
That's why I agree, Mark, that I think Arthur Smith could be an interesting name, because when I look at what Ryan Tannehill was doing with the Dolphins, he looked like Carson Wentz does right now. Like, there's not a lot of confidence, bad turnovers, and no one in the organization or fandom really had confidence in him. So I wouldn't be opposed to hanging on to Carson Wentz and seeing what he could do, because as I mentioned off the top, I had belief in Carson Wentz going into this season and the seasons prior to this. Like, this is my first year really realizing or thinking that Carson Wentz doesn't have it. So I think that there's a chance to kind of restore that belief, but it would have to be Arthur Smith. It would have to be Mike Kafka. It would have to be one of these more quarterback-centric guys.
It wouldn't be Adam Gase who drafted
Stop
Ryan
this, Smitty. Stop
as,
it.
As primarily a wide receiver at a college, and then, you know, allowed him to grow as Miami. Eagles management, it was leaked that they like Adam Gase because what he did with Peyton Manning in Denver, which is impressive. Impressive to even allow that sort of statement to be leaked and think that that is a good thing to say.
That he needed so much grooming when he was already a surefire Hall of Famer when he went to Denver by the time he was getting in there. It's just a bunch of things that have come out from the Novacare complex that have just left a lot of fans baffled. It's one of many things, whether it's quarterback factory, whether it's, again, Doug Peterson, who didn't deserve to be let go, or whether it's how he's the guy that can fix this. It's just a bunch of dumbfounding things. And I keep going back to an owner that feels like he is just so in touch with a fan base that could not have sounded more out of touch with the Philadelphia Eagle fan base than he did in this 42-minute press conference the other day, when he's trying to highlight all these different things that they could do to turn things around and make sure they're back on that winning track. And really, there were just swings and misses all along the way. And now you're going to have Jeffrey Lurie, you're going to have Howie Roseman decide the next, you know, really foreseeable future, because there's no end in sight. If Howie Roseman was able to survive this year, where they already fired the third head coach that Howie Roseman was involved in bringing in, then if he's going to survive that, then when is he going to be let go? Or is it just like a Bobby Clark Flyers type contract where it's a lifetime deal to be the GM of the Eagles forever?
Maybe.
Seems like it.
Maybe, but at least Bobby Clark was the greatest Philadelphia Flyer of all time. Beforehand, go ahead, News.
Hey guys, first time, long time. Harold from Havertown here. I have an inside source that Roseman and Lurie both live in a 2 mile radius of a suburban square. I called all my buddies. We're all bringing eggs, and we're just going to start fucking egging houses till we find them. We're meeting up next Sunday, 2:30, suburban square, right outside of J. Crew, that fancy ass store. You know that one, right?
You know what? Let's meet outside Ruby's. If we're going to Suburban Square, let's go meet outside Ruby's. We'll light up every house. We'll go over to the YMCA. We'll get a quick pump in and play 3-on-3. We'll call it a day.
Do you guys ever have to shoot down violence? Usually in the sports talk radio world, you have to shoot down violence if you heard it. Is that protocol here as well?
I know. The eggings.
We stoke the violence.
Gotcha. You guys already have eggs. You guys already have just crates of them ready to go.
We're ready.
Well, Smitty, Roan, longtime fan of you guys. Excited that you guys are back to make a podcast again. I had a quick Sixers question. How close you guys have been paying attention, but the crime that has been done against the Sixers lately, that the Sixers were forced to play with 7 active players the other night against the Nuggets, while the Heat and the Celtics were canceled after an inconclusive test by Adam Silver and the NBA. I just wanted to see if you guys had any take on that. You know, it's ridiculousness. All right, viva guys.
Yeah, Adam Silver pulling some tomfoolery over the Sixers again. This time, Brian Colangelo is not involved.
We got some breaking news as well, friends.
No.
James Harden has been traded to the Nets.
Oh, no, but I heard from a trusted source at Barstool Sports about a month ago that he was coming to the Philadelphia 76ers. Ron?
I heard about 5 minutes ago that he was coming to the Philadelphia 76ers from a different trusted source.
So an actual trusted source. We did hear that he was coming to the Sixers. But I'm happy, boys. Are you happy?
What, happy that he's not a Sixer?
I am happy that he is not a Sixer because, A – The Sixers right now, when Adam Silver and the COVID situation is not among us, they are playing like the best team in the East right now. They finally have a team. They finally have spacing. They finally have shooters. Joel Embiid is fucking JoJo Shirley Temple down the balls MVP right now. They are doing everything right, everything that we dreamed of in the past couple of years. They're finally getting all together. And now you just want to kind of break it up and try something new? Yes, they would have two generational players, a Kobe and a Shaq, a LeBron and an AD. But why not ride with what we got, baby? Why not?
For me, because you could get an MVP. that's why. And look, I know the back and forth of the story and everything. But, man, watching Embiid last night, especially playing – this is the thing. It's on a bad – it's bad timing given the game that Embiid just had where he was just a monster. And you're watching him play that way and you're thinking to yourself, if you had that legit other scorer, that the guy that was a threat to score every time down the court like James Harden, that MVP, that 30-plus per game type of guy that could shoot from the outside, hit threes and all that, expand the floor, stretch the floor, all that. If you had that guy in this lineup, you're thinking about not just, oh, can they get by the Raptors consistently? Can they get by the Celtics consistently? Can they get out of the Eastern Conference against the Bucks this year? You're thinking about, yeah, the hell with it. They're in the finals. That's where my mind goes. It's not about developing because Ben Simmons really hasn't shown a lot of development. He is a very good basketball player. He's an all-star. But can you honestly look at him and say, he's got substantially better? Like, he came into the league as a pretty damn good defender. Yes, now he's a great defender. But even you see games like last year against T.J. Warren in the bubble where you see a guy like that go off. So if you bring in a guy like James Harden, you're right away thinking about the NBA Finals, not maybe getting by the Celtics or maybe consistently getting by the Bucks as they've rebuilt in the offseason. So James Harden's the guy that immediately puts you over that top. I got
to
tell you, like,
year
right now, yeah, for the next year or two, I'll take it because that guarantees it. I don't even know if Ben Simmons is ever going to develop to that point.
Oh, I'm with Mark on this one. I badly wanted Harden, and it seems like at the death of this trade, it seemed like it was going to be Simmons and pieces. And the main piece that seemed to maybe be the sticking point of this was Tyrese Maxey. And it seemed like they were willing to give up with a package that maybe included Shake and Matisse, but not Maxey. And Maxey might have been the thing that kind of stood in the way of this. Now is Maxey – I didn't want to get rid of Maxey. I didn't want to get rid of Simmons and Maxey because who's going to handle the ball, especially when James Harden isn't in the game. But at the same time, though, is that enough to not have James Harden, a top five player, a guy who can put up 40 points whenever he wants? I mean, Embiid had a career night last night, one of the best games he's ever played, and he got to 45 points. James Harden, when he's not really fat, can put up 40 points in his sleep.
And he'd also give up 140. Think about that. The Sixers are the best defensive team in the NBA right now when they are all healthy. And you really want to bring in James Harden and disrupt the flow that they have, that the continuity? Yes, I agree. James Harden, 40 pounds ago, was a top five NBA player and a scoring threat. This season, he has one game above 40 points. He's going to be fucking living in Delisandro's if he comes into Philadelphia. It's not exactly what I want right now. And I get where you two are coming from. And I think it's greedy. And I think
5 years of nothing. After 5 years of nothing, we could be a little greedy.
Let them work under Doc. Let them be somebody. You guys are discounting Tobias Harris, who is playing worth his contract right now.
Yeah,
and
right
that is
now,
because
yeah,
of Doc. That is because of Doc. And if James Harden comes in, it's the Harden and Bede show. Right now, they're a team. They're the best team in the East right now when they play together. And I think it would be a mistake not to keep rolling with it.
But Smitty,
I hope they do.
Smitty, have you seen what you want to see out of Ben Simmons?
Offensively, of course not. Nobody has. You'd be insane to think so, especially in the playoffs. He's a pussy in the playoffs.
He was a pussy last night against an undermanned Heat team. He dropped 5 points last night. That's inexcusable. I mean, if you can get anything close to Harden for him, I feel like you had to do that. I think that the Sixers are playing beautifully this year. I think the additions of Doc Rivers and especially guys like Seth Curry have completely transformed how they play offensively. But you're always going to wonder, what if they had made this Harden trade?
We'll see. We'll see what the Nets. Now they're even more of a dysfunctional organization.
That's a fact. We got one more voicemail in there, Smitty.
Yo, Roan, yo, Smitty. Here to talk about the Flyers. It's Lobie from the Mummers video. Boys in black are back. They're going to be okay. Claude Giroux's going to let us down, but all the stars let us down. Who cares? I'm just here for the ride.
Fuck the Pens. What are you going
to
do?
So you're excited when they lost Game 7 to the Islanders last year? Like, that was the ride was great. Like, no,
I was excited.
The Flyers have so much potential. It's obviously tougher with the division that they're in now and the way it works with the way they're doing it this year. But man, they're going to be a great hockey team. I really feel like they're going to be a great hockey team because of the goaltending, the obvious things, right? But I'm really excited. I want to see Nolan Patrick play under Lane Vigneault. Something we've never seen, right? He didn't play at all last year. I want to see Claude Giroux come out now, 33 years old. I want to see that entire line. I want to see TK just capitalize on everything and just continue the momentum that he's built over the last couple of years. I mean, this has so much potential to be a great hockey club and had to be a great year. It's not just going to be about the ride for me, because I feel like that's when your expectations are low. It's going to be about the end result. I want my expectations to start, and this is how I'm starting the season. My expectations this year are starting where they left off last year. Once they got the number one seed, it was disappointing when they got bounced out of the second round, game seven or not.
The pandemic did the Flyers worse than any organization in sports. They were the hottest team in the NHL. You see it with the Blues the year before. You see it with teams riding that mojo into the playoffs, especially in NHL. The hot team, more likely than not, is going to have a shot to come out on top. And the Flyers had that it factor until the pandemic. And then the gods go crazy again. But fuck
Smitty, your mic is sounding like a fart, like Boo said. But so I'll take this chance to let Mark get out of here. But Mark, thank you so much for stopping by. Always good to have a little bit more Philly flavor around here. Always good to have someone knowledgeable talk about these teams that we love and equally hate.
Yeah, I heard it's a good scumbag invasion from what I understand. I appreciate you guys having me, and this was a lot of fun. Smitty, thanks. Roan, thanks. Booze, great job pushing the buttons and all that stuff, man.
Appreciate you, brother. Take it easy.
You too. Thanks, guys.
So we banged through a little bit. It's always good to get back on these sticks, Smitty. It's always good to be back just exercising and reaffirming what we know and what we hate about these Philadelphia franchises. And it's a weird time. The NBA is heating up. The Flyers are about to get underway. Who knows what in the hell the fucking Phillies are doing. And as always, the Eagles will be the joy of our life and a maddening presence in our life. But it's going to be it's going to keep on developing underneath our noses for this offseason. So keep on checking back with us. I'm sure we'll be back talking about whatever the Eagles do as far as their coaching, whatever trades the Sixers make, and however Philadelphia blossoms into the greatest sports town of all time. Until next time, first time, long time.